more or less throwing a dart at the board, good darts and a good board. Number of titles, any one of them could be applicable to what I'm saying. But I just said, hey, let's do this. The only answer. The only answer. The only answer. There's not many answers. There's only one answer. And tonight, as we look at the Word of God, let's look at Luke, the first chapter. Luke, the first chapter. I don't like to read a lot of verses because people usually don't get all excited about that. We do more so in our private times. But this preceded the birth of Christ. Luke chapter 1, verse 5, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias. Now remember, he was one of those who was there. He was there for God. He was there for Jesus. He was there for his wife Elizabeth. Took him a little while to come around on believing the promise, but he was solid, didn't veer from it. As I said this morning, if all of us were struck dumb for a while when we didn't believe the promise, we'd all be doing sign language part of the time. But as I look at, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Zacharias and Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments. In other words, they were walking in all the light they knew. Doesn't mean they were perfect and flawless, but they were walking in the ways of God and the ordinances of the Lord, blameless. They had no child because Elizabeth was barren and they both were now well stricken in years. It's another Abraham and Sarah situation here. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, simple things turned me on. I mean, I'm just sometimes sitting dreaming. I'm just saying, let's play like my name is Zacharias tonight. Let's play like your name is the people that were there. And as it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. All right, so we don't burn incense tonight. We give praises unto God. And the Bible said in verse 10, look at what can happen when certain things happen. Look at what can happen. You say, can you guarantee that'll happen? No, but what I'm saying is, look here at verse 10. And the whole multitude of the people were praying. Remember, 500 heard, go to the upper room and tarry until you be endued with power. How many went? 120. Four soils. How many soils brought forth? That's why Jesus said, take heed what you hear and take heed how you hear. It's important what you hear. You know, most people going to church aren't listening for the right thing. I mean, they're hearing certain buzzwords or certain clichéisms. But how many really hear? I want to hear what God is saying. And I mean, even though I'm ministering tonight, my antennas are up. While I'm ministering, I want to hear what God is saying. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. Well, what difference can that make? What difference can that make? Well, let me tell you what happened there. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. An angel of the Lord. If you saw an angel in this place, now, would you say, man, that was worth going to church? I mean, Your first impression would be a humma, 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 humma. You know, we think we'd know what to do, but most people, when they saw an angel, they were out without a catcher in sight. There appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Notice the angel was by the altar. I said, notice the angel was by the altar. The angel was by the designated place of prayer. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. Well, I guess so. I mean, you see a 10 or 12 foot angel, your mind going to say, I repent of anything I've ever done, said, thought, or even been inclined to. But the angel said unto him, here's what the angel said to a praying man. Fear not. Fear not. We don't have to be afraid. Fear not, Zacharias. Number one, fear not. Don't get into fear. Number two, thy prayer is heard. Boy, you missed a chance to shout on that one. Don't be afraid. Thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Zacharias, something's going to happen that has not happened in your lifetime, in your marriage. Something's going to happen. You and Elizabeth are going to have a child, and his name is John. Now, he was dumb for a while, but when it came time to designate the name for this boy, he got that one right. He passed 100 on that test on John. He said, his name shall be called John, not my name, John. And thou shalt have joy. Praying people have joy and gladness. Joy and gladness. Not a lot of that today. A lot of hype, but not much real joy and gladness. And many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. Many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. Now, we could read a little further, but I think that's sufficient. We know that it's Gabriel, and he's the messenger angel, and he has come. And he said, many, many shall turn to the Lord. Many shall turn to the Lord. You know, folks, if we keep lighting matches, we're going to set off some firecrackers. We keep lighting some matches, we're going to set off something. I'm talking about in the spirit. We keep lighting matches, we're going to set off things in the spirit. We're going to set them off. Amen. Every service is not the same. You say, I'd like to see every seat filled tonight. Yeah, I would too. But I'm going to take what I have. And I'm going to take you, and you're going to take me, and together we're going to believe God that many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. Now, as we look at this, the only answer, there is only one answer. I'm conservative in my politics, but I'm telling you the answer is not in the Republicans nor in the Democrats. Some people are radical. They say it does make a difference who's in office. No, I will not buy that, and I'll call your hand on that, because I believe who is in charge, whoever's in office, it is important. Leadership is important. Everything ultimately rises or falls on leadership. But here we look at this. The only real answer, number one, is in the real Christmas story, here's the promise. Here's one of the many promises. John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus, an angel announces the birth of John the Baptist. And of course, if you look at it, John the Baptist, Jesus, Stephen, were at least three that did not live long. I mean, they got it done, got out of here. About 33 years of age, Jesus. I've reminded him of that many times. Lord, you ministered 3 years. I've been here a while. Help me, Lord. And I'm serious about that. I said, hey, Lord, you were out of here now. You were out of here. And he is still here, but I mean, he was out of here. And we're still here. And that's okay, because it's God's I believe it's God's will. So there's the promise. The only answer is the covenant, believing and praying and faith in the covenant promises of God. It's the only answer. Just praying, loud praying, soft praying. We'll have a silent thought here, a silent moment, whatever. I'll take anything you give me. But the only thing that's going to work is a promise, a covenant promise. And as you look at the Word of God, we're coming into a whole new thing here. And we're in that time today. As dark as the Old Testament was. You know, I look at those people, my Lord God, you talk about slow. I mean, you know, God comes and delivers them out of slavery and delivers them out of all this crazy stuff. And before long, they're worshiping some dumb-looking tree or some animal. Man, I haven't done that. You haven't done that. We're sharper than that. But you see this darkness and light, and then God delivers them in darkness and light. And finally, 400 years of darkness. God's been trying to speak to man, but all of a sudden man decided he didn't want to listen to God. We're going to take him out of our schools. We're going to take him out of Washington. We're going to take him out of politics. We're going to take him out of everything. God, just shut up and go to the back room. We can run this nation. No, we can't. No, we can't. We must have God. And the covenant promise that in the midst of darkness, a light is going to shine. The covenant promises of God was that a virgin shall bring forth. And the wonderful names of Jesus. And what this church and every other, and I know this morning we're talking about being there for him, but there's the balance in that. There's the balance that we still need him to know he's for us. I mean, I'm out of business if he's not for us. You are too. But at the same time, we need to focus on being there for him, for his purposes, for his kingdom, for his outreach. And I tell you, I salute this church. I know everyone hasn't agreed with it, but I salute this church. We are doing what God said to do. We're doing what churches, it's not the only thing churches do, but if you don't do that, you really ain't doing much of nothing. If you're not reaching out, The promise. And then there's the purpose of this Acts 1:8. The purpose of this. Acts 1:8, I don't know why we've blown the whistle. We've blown the horn. We've made noise. We beat on the pie pans. I mean, woo, we got the power. Dear God, read the rest of that verse. We read half the verse we like and leave the rest of it alone. But ye shall receive power. There's the promise, but there's the purpose of the promise. The promise I'm really keying in on strongly during these days is Acts 1:8. There's only one reason that the church needs the power of the Holy Ghost. I mean, we need God in everything in our life, but it's the end time stick of dynamite or hydrogen bomb or H-bomb or whatever you want to call it. It's God's power bomb. Remember, many of you weren't there, of course, weren't around at that point. But when nothing seemed to penetrate the Japanese war, when nothing seemed to be able to slow down that Japanese war machine, they were determined people sending those suicide pilots, and the Germans were doing the same thing. It was a bomb. You say, that's a terrible thing to happen. Well, it's the only thing that would get their attention. You say, well, that's terrible for a city to be destroyed. Talk to God. He destroyed two cities. When God's had enough, God's had enough. God destroyed two cities and got some people's attention anyway. The purpose of Acts 1:8, you see, the thief has come before to steal, kill, and destroy. But we've come, he said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Mark 16 said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Start next door and fan out. Start next door and just Do a radius. In the little post office building, we had the outreach to the unreached, and we reached thousands of homes. We went right up to next door to the seminary. And some people said, well, you know, I don't think we need to go around Southwestern Baptist Seminary. Those Baptists have everybody saved for blocks around the seminary. Listen, we found a whole bunch of folks. And that's true of any denomination. I'm not knocking the Baptist. But we found a 92 or 93-year-old man who had never heard the plan of salvation just one block at that time from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. One man. And so we went out door to door during the Vietnam situation. Is there anything we can pray with you about? That was the soft entrance. And then we went in, that was the way we were working at that time. Then we talked to them about their soul, and we saw a number of people saved with the outreach to the unreached. We went two by two and just went out door to door, and we saw a lot of people touched. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. I'll never forget as I believe it was the third time I'd been away from U.S., I was with some of the ministries from Voice of Healing. We were in Jamaica, and Edward R. Murrah at the time was there. And as we were going past the pool, he was out getting some sun, and he was there on some news assignment that he had. And we paused just a moment. He said, well, who are you? Where are you coming from? I was waiting for the ride. Told him, and he said, well, what are you doing here? I said, well, we're here to preach the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he looked at me as cold and as cynical as I've ever talked to any person. Here's this big news name. And he said, these people are happy just like they are. What are you doing over here bothering them with? See, they don't get it. They don't get it. They don't understand. They did not understand. Of course, we went to the open-air crusade where several thousand people were there, and hundreds of people came to Jesus that night. What it's all about, folks, there's going to be a breakout. There's going to be a breakthrough. I know we're winning them out there, but there's going to be a breaking in. Witness, win, and bring them in. Hallelujah. God's going to show us in a stronger way how to tie this thing stronger than ever before. But the only excuse, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You can receive the Holy Spirit standing right here. And we understand that. But the purpose of the Holy Spirit was exactly what the rest of the verse said. And ye shall be witnesses unto me. I could be a little mean in the interpretation of that verse and say, you don't have any business receiving the Holy Ghost if you're not going to do something with it. If you're not going to tell it to somebody. If you're not going to help somebody. And a lot of people don't because they don't know they can, or they're afraid of what's going to happen, and a fear that so many in the church have overcome that they're not going to eat. All they can do is eat us, and we haven't had anyone eaten yet. And the Holy Spirit of God has prepared people to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, it's not how big a church you have. It's being obedient to what God's called you to do. Amen. Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. So that's the promise there, but of course there's the power. How do we do it? How do we do it? How do we do it? I've had some moments this week, and I had some moments this afternoon. There's such a need in our nation. There's such a need in our cities. There's such a need. I mean, I'm not against clean football or baseball or whatever it might be. But, I mean, you can get a crowd for almost anything, it seems, except consistently get a crowd for the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's only one answer. There's only one answer. You say, well, just don't sweat it. It's all going to work out. No, God called us to pray about the harvest. Look upon the fields that are white and unto harvest. Already unto harvest. John chapter 4. Look unto the wheat fields. Look unto the fields. Do something about it. Do what you can do about it. The power. Mary, how shall it be? How shall it be? Mary said that in Luke, the first chapter, verse 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be? I have never known a man physically. Never known a man. And the answer then is the answer now. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. Yeah, I'm a Holy Ghost preacher. Not as much as I want to be, but I'm after it. The Holy Ghost. Said, doesn't make any difference about the Holy Ghost. Well, it should. That's the promise. That's the covenant promise that ye shall receive power. And 120 people received something they had never received as yet. They received the power. They received the power. And then you see 3,000 people. I mean, the simplicity of this thing. I mean, we've got slick copy. We've got radio. We got television. We've got CDs. We've got all the social media. We're inundated. We're flooded with capabilities of getting some kind of a message out. Right? But in that day when there was none of that, some way, dream with me. Dream with me. I have a dream. Some way, somehow, 3,000 people were touched by God's Holy Ghost social media. Something from the throne of God spoke to 3,000 people, and 3,000 people gathered. 3,000 people aren't gathering for prayer meetings today, by and large. But 3,000 people came to a prayer meeting. They're not giving away cars. They're not giving away this. And I'm not against that. But I mean, 3,000 people came and they said, what must we do to be saved? Wow. Oh, Jesus. What shall we do? It happened. And R.T. Kendall says, if it happened once, if God did it once, God can do it again. If God did it once, God can do it again. And that wasn't the end of it. Later on, 5,000 people. Talk to me. How did that happen? It couldn't have happened by the media that we have today, newspapers and radio and television and all the things we have to. Tell me how it happened. There is no way to understand it except that the Spirit of the living God, something of the fear of God came on the hearts of people, and they came in. 5,000 people were saved. And then it was said, these that have turned the world. They didn't evangelize the whole world, but they evangelized their known world. If they lived in a 100-block area, 100 blocks heard the word of God. 100 blocks got a knock on the door. 100 blocks, every house, every condo, every apartment heard God has a wonderful plan for your life. If you died today, would you go to heaven or hell? Where would you? That would be the potential of that. And so you say, you know, why don't you just, people are too busy to go to church. Why don't you just turn out church? Turn out. So you turn out one service. I've had pastors tell me this. They said, Pastor Bob, don't be discouraged with attendance. Attendance is a challenge across America in many situations outside of Sunday morning. But they said, we dismissed a service, thought we'd pick it up later on. We've never gotten it back. We've dismissed two services. We can't get them back. We've tried to get those services back. We lost something. Our church lost something. Well, are you going to heaven or hell if you don't come to church on Sunday night? That's not where I'm coming from. But I'm telling you, folks, we need all of God we can get. The answer is not sitting home watching some sitcom or you know, whatever. Amen. I'm not preaching condemnation or legalism. I am just hungry. I am junkyard dog hungry. to see God pour out of his power. Amen. I'm hungry for God. I'm hungry to see a move of God. I'm hungry for God. And you are too. I'm not fussing at you. I just believe I believe we have a good group of people here tonight. Remember, 500 heard do it. And it's about the same ratio today. 120 did it. Well, if everybody in the church tithed. I've heard that all my life. Well, if everybody in the church won a soul. Well, that's theoretically, that's good, but most people don't do it. But you do. Let me do. Let us do what God's called us to do. I can't be responsible for every other whatever, church or pastor or minister or whatever, but I am responsible for what God calls me to do. And I am responsible to be obedient to what God's called me to be. And by the grace of God, I'm endeavoring to do that and be that. So I'm just throwing a dart at the board. The only answer, the only answer, the only answer. And I'm telling you, the grief of my heart, race relations in this nation were never better than in my lifetime than they were before all this election thing. I mean, there was more peace, there was more understanding, there was more compatibility. I mean, our church was the first charismatic church in the Metroplex years ago that opened its doors to people of all colors of skin. I mean, we settled that issue a long time ago. It's been a non-issue as far as I'm concerned. In the church, a soul is a soul, and God loves all souls. But oh, the cry of my heart is, it's time to reach out. It's time to reach out. It's time to release our faith. And tomorrow night, we're coming in. You say, well, what good's that going to be? Well, I can't tell you. I'm not God, but I'll tell you one thing. There'll be value to your coming in. And God will have your name on the roster of those that are believing for a move of God. And God's going to bless you as you're obedient to him. And folks, here's the thing. God's called this church to do a lot of things. We can't do the prayer thing that God's called us without the power of the Holy Ghost. What we're doing is not mechanical. What we're doing is not a numbers game. We can't go out into the highways and the hedges without the help of God. I mean, any number of our workers, they've been going out and a child fell and, you know, it turned out okay, but I mean, had to take them to the hospital, stitch it. I mean, just getting ready to go out or just barely out. I couldn't tell you the stories that people have told me of things that have happened when they were endeavoring. I'm not trying to spook you. I'm just telling you, Satan is running scared. He doesn't want to see us go to the highways and hedges. He doesn't want to see us reach out. Praise God. But that's his problem. Amen. All I'm saying is this. If God did not want, listen to me. I believe this. If this were the last breath I'd ever breathe. If God wanted this church shut down and doors closed and the lights off permanently, he could have done it downtown in 2000. Joe and I and another couple, we were in a captive situation. Only God Almighty rescued us from those twin tornadoes that struck our church downtown. Only God. I'm alive because years ago I had a praying mother and God brought me through an accident that should have killed me. But thank God, God brought me through and brought my friend through. And he built a church in up in Seekonk, Massachusetts, and my work has been here in Fort Worth. We were both students at Southwestern. Well, we were running from God at the time, but we got our act together. I'm telling you, man, she whiz, amen, we did. So, oh, it's just time. It's time. It's time. God's hand is on this church. God's hand is on this 17 and a half acres. God's hand is on my life. God's hand is upon every one of your life. God's hand is upon the young people. I don't care what anybody says. They can do what they want to do. You better read Isaiah 41 before you meddle with this church nowadays. I'm telling you, because we are on track. We are in the groove. We are straight ahead, and we're not going to veer to the right or to the left. We're not going to quit. We're not going back. We're going to do and finish what God called us to do. Going to do it. Amen. Going to do it. And this pastor has never been more dependent upon God than I am right now. I'm dependent upon God for everything. I mean, basically, that sounds spiritual, but I'm serious. I am totally dependent upon God. And I am believing to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. We can't pray without the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We can't outreach without the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We've been doing radio for 42 years. 42 years in the Metroplex. Gone through, I forget how many radio stations. We'd be doing good, and then they'd sell out and sell commercial, and here we go again. We've been, for 42 years, we've been on the radio. 42 years, that's somewhat of a miracle right there. But we can't do it without the power of the Holy Spirit. Years ago, we went out to the highways and the hedges, but we had some folks that backslid on us. People say, just go out and win souls. You'll never backslide. That's a bunch of stuff. You can backslide sitting in these pews right here if you don't listen to what is being said and flow with God. And so we had two or three key workers, I mean key workers, that got off track. And in spite of everything, you couldn't get through. And we lost them at that time. I believe they got on track a few years later. And it almost shut our outreach ministry down. We had to pull back. We had to pull back. But oh, I tell you what, nothing's going to stop. Nothing could stop the book of Acts. These men that have turned the world upside down are coming hither to us also. Woo, they came through shipwrecks. They came through beatings. They came through storms. They came through jails. They came through assassinations. They came through it all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Paul, get out on that water. The devil sunk his ship several times. Paul just wouldn't go under. He's like the proverbial cork. You couldn't put him under. Well, here we are, folks. Here we are tonight. Here we are. And we're gonna come and have a few moments of prayer. And we're going to reach out to God. You'll never feel better than when you're prayed through. You'll never feel more confident than when you know nothing between my... I'm not talking about heaven and hell now. I'm talking about heaven on earth or hell on earth. Oh, there's nothing like that clean feeling when you know you've committed your life to God. Hallelujah. God's been getting me up earlier and earlier. And in spite of everything, I'd had a late night and some other things happened. And I was right in the middle of prayer and I went to sleep. And I slept about 15 minutes. I woke up and, oh, Jesus. And God said, I see you here. You're here. I was there for him. I said, that's your fault if I go to sleep, Lord. I'm drinking coffee as fast as I can drink it. I'm up. I'm out of bed. That bed felt so good. But I've been up. I've been praying. I've been praying in the Spirit. God's not mad at us. But he is calling us to some moments of intercession tonight. We're going to believe for this nation. We are going to believe for this nation in the name of Jesus. My house shall be called a house of prayer. Praise God, we're going to be a house of praise and worship. I said we're going to be a house of praise and worship. Remembering Jehoshaphat, they sent the praise singers out, and when they began to sing and praise God, woo, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're not just trying to crank up singers. We're raising up praise and worship people. Slap Satan in the head. Hallelujah. Oh, get on your feet. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, let's come forward and do some prayer tonight. Let's release our faith. Let's release our faith. The only answer is prayers of faith. The only answer is prayers of faith.